This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Sue Balcom. It's time for Main Street Eats.
Sue joins us once a week from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm, to talk about food. Sue, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to share.
And we've spent the last couple weeks talking about vegetables, so let's talk about pie.
Oh my gosh, let's talk about pie. Okay, so as we all know, we are still sort of semi-quarantining and still social distancing. And so I think Netflix and Amazon Prime movies have been like going off the charts lately as people are spending a little bit more time at home. And it is harvest season. And that means fresh peaches, apples, strawberries. You know, you can find a lot of things, Juneberries, gooseberries, a lot of fruit during the summer months. And there is nothing better in my mind than a good fruit pie with a flaky crust.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm starving right now. Oh, with a little bit of vanilla bean ice cream. Oh, wait, I forgot. There is something better than pie. The most sexy thing in the world to watch Josh Brolin make a peach pie in the movie Labor Day. I got goosebumps thinking about it, man. Oh my gosh. So I love movies with pie in them because I am a pie aficionado. I have worked years and years and years to get the perfect pie crust. So I have three movie recommendations. And the first one, of course, is Labor Day with Kate Winslet and Josh Brolin. I'm not going to give away any of the plot, but you will never not try peach pie after watching this movie. Trust me. Oh, okay. Second movie pick with pie in it is Michael with John Travolta. I love John Travolta and I love Andy McDowell. And he's an archangel, Michael. And he comes down and it's a love story. And it's so great to watch him dance. And all of these women that are following him down the dance floor, each one smells something that reminds them of being a child or being at home, like chocolate chip cookies or, you know, something familiar to them. But in the background, Andy McDowell gets up on stage and she sings a song about, my, oh my, look at that pie. And then she talks about all these different kinds of pies. And it's just like endearing. It's a really good movie. And then I accidentally found this one called Waitress, which doesn't say anything to me about pie, but it has Carrie Russell and Andy Griffith in it. And she is a pie baker, and it's an awesome movie, and it makes you want to just go try some unique sort of pies. But in order to do that, my friends, you must make the perfect crust. Are any of you pie bakers out there?
No, my mother was a darn good pie baker. I'm a very good pie eater.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Good. Because I hate when people come to my house and they're like, well, I really like pie, but I don't like the crust. And I'm like, excuse me,
stop.
But that is the pie.
I know to use butter. I know to keep it cold.
Okay. So let's run through it a little bit of this. When I was in high school, I used to make pies, apple pies, for my mother's boss at the Gackle Packing Company. And I think he paid me $2.50 for a pie. And he said he liked mine because they had thick crust on them. And I'm like, cool, that's good. But back then, I used my mom's recipe for crust, and it had shortening in it. I have since then learned how to make a much better pie crust with lard and butter. Now, you can do it with all butter, but I think it's the lard that's the secret to a really good crust.
What does the lard do?
It makes it flaky. For some reason, it just is better to make a flaky pie crust. I found with butter that if you don't get your butter worked in all the way, it actually will like seep out of your crust and make a smelly mess in your oven. So I use probably almost 50-50 butter and lard. And there's a lot of great recipes out there. And I would recommend just trying them or trying your mother's until you get it right. But if you don't have a mother who was a good pie baker like Doug, you want to visit Ken Heidrich, who's the dean of the Pie Academy. So if you just type in thepieacademy.com, that guy makes such fabulous pies. He makes savory pies. He makes sweet pies. He makes slab pies. He makes pies in those wide mouth canning jar lids. And he will tell you the best way to handle your crust. And we disagree, I suppose, on a couple of things, but I'm going to run through my crust tips really quick here. So be sure and use cold lard and cold butter. And if you're using Crisco, you can use cold Crisco. So I always keep a can of lard in my refrigerator, and I always have frozen butter. Now, if your butter's frozen and you want to cut it into your flour, which is the most important part of this process, you measure your flour out, put in your little bit of salt, your little bit of sugar, and then if your butter is frozen, grate that over your flour. And then add your lard, and then you can use either a couple of knives, your fingers, or a pastry cutter to kind of make sure that all that flour gets coated with your shortening lard or butter.
What's the ratio of butter and lard? Are you doing a mix here?
I use 280 grams in my recipe, and so about 120 of it is butter and the rest is lard. I have been known to make an entire lard pastry before. So if you don't want to mess with the butter, because butter has extra water in it, you know, most of the butters you buy at the store, you'll find that if you heat those up, there's a lot of water in them. But a pure lard crust, there ain't nothing wrong with that, trust me. Which just reminded me of another movie with a pie in it and it was chocolate and it was called The Help.
Do you remember? Yes. Yes.
Sorry, it's not a pie you want. You don't want to make that kind of pie.
No.
280 grams is how many tablespoons of what?
Oh, I can't tell you that because I don't know how to convert it. I've started moving away from using cups to weighing out my measurements. And when I make pie crust, I make usually enough for six pies. One of the things, if you're a beginner, that you want to do is just make a pie crust for one pie at a time so that you can get your technique down. And all the pie crust recipes that you'll find in all the church cookbooks will always be in cups, Doug. So you can do this.
So you've grated the butter over the flour. You've mixed it in. Now what?
Right. Then use a teeny little bit, like for a double pie crust, maybe 5 to 7 tablespoons of ice cold water. You can either put your water in your refrigerator or in your freezer to get cold whilst you're mixing things up, or you can actually throw some ice cubes in a cup and fill it with water and cool it off that way. The secret here to mixing, of course, is everything as cold as possible. Pastry gets warm, the butter melts, it seeps out, it doesn't do its job coating the flour. So then, and this I found out quite by accident, many of the things I know I did just because I was lazy, I think. So you sprinkle the ice water over the flour and butter and lard, and then you use a fork and you toss it into a ball, and then you flip it out on a piece of parchment paper. Rather than getting your hands in there and heating that mixture up, you want to just put your hand under the parchment and folding from the outside in until that forms a nice ball. You don't want to overwork it. And if it's too dry, use a squirt bottle to squirt a little more additional water on there. And then split it into two, pat it on a piece of wax paper or saran wrap or parchment until it's, you know, a circle about 6 inches across, and then put the other patty on top of it, wrap it up real good, put it in your refrigerator. So you either want to leave it overnight or you want to leave it at least 30 minutes. 2 hours would be better. But, you know, while you're doing that, you could, you know, be preparing your fruit, picking rhubarb, picking apples, cutting them up, getting all the insides ready for your pie. But refrigerating it gives that flour time to absorb any water and or the butter and lard to get cold again. Then bring it out, let it set a little while so it becomes a little temperate again, and then flour your surface. I know that your mom probably said, don't put that flour on there. It's going to make that pie crust tough. That's not true. It's overworking it that will make it tough. But you want to make sure that it's not going to stick to your counter and or your silicone mat when you're rolling it out. So you pat it down. I kind of roll a little bit back and forth on that. But then you do outward roll only. And you're going to do like a clockwise motion, turning your parchment, roll out twice, turn your parchment, roll out twice. And I'm not talking about beating it down or pressing it down.
Very gentle.
Rolling it out very gently. And then you pick up your parchment and you flip it onto your pie plate, making sure that you're out to the outside edges by about an inch, inch and a half. Because as you know, when that drops into the pan, you need a little bit of dough to kind of fill the pan. And you want to make sure that you gently allow it to sink down as far as it can, because it will shrink when you bake it. So you want to not stretch that dough at all once you're done rolling it. And then trim that bottom crust, and then get your 4 cups of fruit and your 1 cup of sugar and your cinnamon stirred up with your fruit. Oh, and don't forget the cornstarch. That'll help keep it from running over in the oven. Yeah. Fill that thing up, roll out your top crust, get it on there, seal the edges really good, and then poke some steam holes in it. And then you can either freeze it and bake it later, but I would highly recommend that you put it in an oven and start the baking right away.
What's with the people who stab the bottom crust with a fork a couple times?
You only do that when you're blind baking a single pie crust. And blind baking is when you're making like a chocolate cream pie or a strawberry whipped cream jello kind of summery pie.
Okay.
You put your crust in, then you poke your holes in it, and then you layer parchment, bunch of rice or beans. You can actually buy coils of beads that you actually put in a pie crust. It helps keep it weighted down. Put it in the oven and bake it. Because if you don't poke those holes in, you get those air bubbles.
Because you're not baking the topping. Okay.
Right, right. Gotcha. And so then you'll have a nice crust for, let's say, a pumpkin pie that you make. Oh, God, I love pumpkin pie with walnut topping, a little maple
syrup.
Is there
a pie you don't love?
Oh, geez. Let me think here now. No, and you know what's really great is my mom used to make a pie called potato pie. And what it was onions and probably some carrots and celery and potatoes and German sausage. And she would put that in a double pie crust and bake it and then eat it with gravy over the top. Oh, yummy, yummy. You can make pie just about out of anything.
My mother used to make a soda cracker pie, actually, that was pretty good.
Did it have the soda crackers in the crust or actually in the pie?
In the pie.
Oh, interesting. I think I may have heard about that.
Well, my mother was from the South, and that's why I know about lard.
Okay. Sawdust pie. Is that called sawdust pie by any chance?
Well, maybe it's called something differently wherever you are, you know. I don't know.
That's one of those weird kind of things. Like when they say you can use zucchini instead of apples. Not. Use apples. For God's sakes, they grow abundantly in this state. Don't be faking me out with zucchini in a pie. One of the things that you're going to find that my husband gets so upset about is that they almost always run over. So when I make them, and a lot of times I'll make 6 or so at a time and I'll freeze them. And that way when company's coming, you know, you can whoop out a pie. You want to put it in the oven frozen at 425 degrees, a preheated 425 degree oven. That way it sets the crust. It kind of like sets the stage for that flaky crust. And so then once you've got that 15 minutes going there, then reduce the heat to 350 and you want to leave it in there until you can see its innards are bubbling. And usually they're a little bubbling out. They'll look for the weakest spot in your crust and blow out the sides unless you learn how to really get that sealed. But they almost always dribble a little bit. So you want to protect your oven. I have special little trays that I bake my pies on that have an opening in the bottom, but they'll catch any drips. And then you want that bubbling to go on for about 30 minutes or so to make sure that the fruit is fully cooked and the cornstarch has had time to make the juice thick. And then you can either leave it in the oven until you're ready to eat it, turn the oven off, leave it in the oven. If you like it warm, because I like it warm, my husband likes it cold, so we have to fight about this all the time. Just remember this about your pies. Never store them in the refrigerator. The refrigerator will make that crust stale very quickly. All you need to do is cover it with a little bit of tin foil. And I put mine in the microwave because, you know, microwaves are airtight because of the little microns you don't want to be around. So that's a good place to store your pie, but not in the refrigerator. And don't cut your pie while it's hot, because then for sure it'll run all over the place. Allow it to cool if you can. Or you can just take the whole thing in a fork and have at it.
Oh, delightful. Patience is a virtue very few possess. And I confess I find myself possess it less and less when there's pie involved.
It's good for you.
We check in with Sue Balcom from Main Street Eats every week. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, thank you. It's so much fun. I love it.